Esposito. Much like a fine or cheap wine, the more you consume, the harder things are to understand. The angrier you get, the more belligerent you become. Or is that just us? It's probably just us. We get angry and belligerent. You wouldn't notice, though. We don't go off on tangents either. We stay pretty focused on the storytelling. It's something that I'm sure, as an avid listener, you've come to grow and love about us, is our focus and determination. You can't see it, but I just moved my hand like Boris Johnson making a point, and that was deeply upsetting for me. Anyway, this is the podcast. This is the episode. We're ramping up towards the finale. I hope you're enjoying it. I hope that tension's building for you. If not, then I'm sorry. That's my bad. But anyway, enjoy. A recap.
The audience. And us.
It's an easy one, because last time you found yourselves on the bridge having experienced all the things that I recapped you on last time. And then you had some conversations with some fleet commanders. So you spoke with Pax and Doc. You spoke with Admiral Storva Stelkron of the Conclave fleet. Admiral Storva Stelkron was ambiguously supportive, but also not willing to lend any actual support. He morally is on your side, but physically is distant.
Is that you, Dad?
And Philippe Altari, Dora's father, spoke. It didn't go well. You didn't get on like a house on fire. Instead, you got on like a cat on fire. And it was...
Oh, that's you, Dad.
What? What did your dad do to your cat?
I don't want to talk about it.
Also, if the cat was on fire, then I guess the fire still likes the cat.
Yes, but the cat...
It just means it's quite a one-sided relationship.
So, anywho, then you started making some plans, and you've essentially... Your plan at the minute is to hide in the Promethean and Infinity Corps fleets whilst they begin their assault, and then once the fight is underway, try and slip through and dock with the Crucible. Dora also plans to sow dissent or confusion, probably confusion, amongst the Eldora fleet in the hope of dividing them against each other. So that was more or less where we were at. You're on the bridge with Doc and some crew who, I guess only about half an hour ago, were pointing guns at you and are now busy mates with you, even though you've just killed their sergeant-at-arms.
Did we go off and rest?
Yes, you can have had a long rest if you would like to have had a long rest in the intervening period.
Speaking of the long rest, I didn't get to it last time, but I need to know whether I'm able to have the... Why do I always forget what it's called? I keep writing it down on bits of paper that I lose.
Preferred enemy, I think it is, Aaron.
Yeah, no, the actual name of the preferred enemy. The Xenotyrium.
Yeah, roll a xenobiology check.
12.
So, I'm kind of going to give you half for this, because you are aware of what a Xenotyrium is.
Mm-hmm.
But you've never physically encountered one before.
Okay. Do you want me to read what the preferred enemy gives me? And you can, like, choose what I get to apply to it.
I was just opening it up, but you can do that because you presumably have it open already. Because I have looked at this before. I was once a hunter.
But then I took an arrow to the knee.
Yes, then I took an arrow to the knee.
Yes. That's right, dear listeners, a jaded meme from 2012.
Back when memes were young. Were memes young then?
No.
I don't think so. Were they young then?
No, we have had this several times before about what we remember as being the first meme that we encountered.
When I was a boy, we had one meme. We shared it between each other.
I've actually got it open in front of me, so I'll just go through and tell you what the things are.
Okay.
You will still have advantage to track Xenotyrum.
Okay.
You have a pretty strong impression of what their physicality looks like, so you're fairly aware of what kind of tracks they leave. So intelligence lore and intelligence xenobiology checks, depending on what you're trying to find out, you will have proficiency in it, because you actually don't know much about the lore or about their biology. But essentially, if it's something you know or like is on the fringes of something that I know you know.
Yeah, so I can reassess stuff that we picked up through finding things out about the Xenotyrium or like speaking to that xenobiologist or like historian guy, or I can make leaps in logic based on what I know.
Yeah, you can infer some things. I'll give you that. Basically, you'll need to ask me if you have proficiency, if you're doing a law or xenobiology check about them. Advantage on charisma and deception and intimidation roles. I will give you that. And dexterity stealth checks to hide from them. Yeah, I'll give you that too. So it's more about basically knowing them. It's a little bit harder because you don't really know them. You've never met. Well, you have met, but...
Well, I mean, that makes sense based on what you're letting me get from this. I've met in the field a couple of times and we're familiar with how this particular one acts. So it makes sense that I'd know how to react to it, but I don't necessarily know more about it or its species. So that makes... I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, that's you. Anyone else want to do anything whilst you were resting?
Dora's just going to be scribbling away her message to the 12th Fleet that she's going to give
seventh
to her.
Fleet. It's the 7th Fleet, get that right.
Yeah, that'll be a good start.
Dear 12th Fleet. No, they've switched off. You didn't even bother to learn their number.
This is why Dad doesn't love you.
Yeah, she's just going to be up most of the night doing that. And that's it.
Okay. Rebook.
Rebook's also going to change his know your target as well and have a think over the past few days and the horrors he's witnessed and what he's seen.
Same thing for...
No, I'm going to change it to Eldora.
Interesting. All right, yeah, you can do that. Easy. I think you can do it for two if you're going for human.
I can, but I can't think who we're going to run across instead. So,
yeah.
Humans? We've fought some humans recently.
Just in case you need to take out Dora and Hud.
We might see some Zamarons again. I don't know. Are they all dead?
I think Zamaron will be a specific type. Well, I don't know what they come under.
I can double check.
Very I mean, unless I can just pick Eldora and Zamaron as specifics rather than a...
I'll have a look. I'll have a look at what Zamaron count as. Because if they're humanoid, then that's fine.
Insectoid.
I can pick plants. I can really have it in for some rosemary.
No, they are not humanoids. You would have to specifically pick what they are.
We'll go Eldora and human, just in case.
Yep.
Or you could pick dwarves. This whole time, you've been working towards killing Dumas at the end. The true betrayal.
That would be good.
Shut up.
What a twist.
I'm just making a note of that. Okay, good stuff. Did Dumas want to do anything whilst he was resting, or did Dumas just want a nap?
I don't think Dumas was doing anything in particular, really. I don't think he had any...
Try forging if you want.
I think Dumas has learned his lesson there.
Can try and make some bullets.
You have an entire pyramid of Giza, of adamantine.
Two bullets.
You can make 7 bullets.
I prefer to refer to it as a fistful of bullets.
I prefer to refer to it as a cheap-ass bitch move from our bastard of a DM.
Robert,
hey, we've all got our parlance, haven't we?
The stupid thing is, these precious few bullets I made were so hard to fucking make, is I've not used a single one of them.
You know what, me either.
Because they've become too saved it for the end boss. Use, yeah, like literally until I know it's the last fucking fight of the campaign, I'm not going to use them because I'm just God. I won't do a fucking lot to get these bullets.
Oh, actually, I think I used one. I've got one left. I've got 10 rounds of +1 ammunition for some reason.
All I want is for Tom to use his adamantine bullets and miss.
Actually, I'm going to give my remaining adamantine bullet to Dumas, and I'm going to give my 10 rounds of plus one ammunition, I'm going to give them to Rebook.
Thank you.
Because I've got all of my grenades.
How many bullets did you give me?
One.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so I foolishly presumed you had a quantity of them.
Your cup runneth over.
The original four, that is a quantity.
What would be worse, if you used them and missed, or if we somehow got through this campaign without actually fighting the boss, and you didn't fire them at all?
I don't know how you can
miss. It'd be like the end of Jarhead, just firing our rifles into the air.
I think what I'm going to do in my rest time is I'm going to take my four adamantium bullets and I'm going to buy a stately home and with at least 80 acres, maybe retire.
Did I just give away my retirement fund?
I'm going to call it Salty Manor.
I'm sorry, I stopped listening. I was trying to remind myself what the adamantium bullets do.
They ignore
four points of AC.
Oh, right, yeah, that makes sense.
Mara ammo, you could call it.
All right. So
wow, that went down like a lead round. But anyway,
Dumas curls up to sleep, hugging these three bullets four bullets that he has, just hugging them tightly. So you wake up in the morning. What are your plans?
Flying back to the Conclave ship. Picking up the rose, and we're going to try and stealth past the blockade, aren't we? And then going to let them know that we've scrambled when they're being attacked by the Conclave fleet. So we can draw them off of the fleet so that they can withdraw. Wasn't that the plan? I was quite drunk last time.
I think the idea was to start the attack and then us stealth through the blockade while the attack was going on. And then
that makes more sense. Yeah,
the Prometheans can do what they want after that, I suppose. And as long as we get to the Crucible and infiltrate, do a bit of docking. Yeah, you heard.
I'm really glad someone did it, and I'm glad that it wasn't me.
Do a bit of docking and then take out this squid.
What's the word for this? There's a word, and I don't want to Google it. Is it frottage?
No, that's docking.
All no, I can think of is that community episode. Those guys were.
The word I'm going for. I'm just going to put private browsing on and I'm just going to Google frottage.
Classic.
Yes, I know Google can see me.
Jousting. That's what it is.
Oh, okay, safe search is really, really hampering me here.
Jousting. Do I have safe search on?
Yeah, I'm surprised. Like, you own your Wi-Fi. You can turn that off.
I know, but clearly I haven't.
Are you worried that Bill's going to get on the internet?
But we realised. Too young. But...
Yeah, I think it is, but for some... I don't know what... I'm going to go with, yeah, frottage is the term. If any of our listeners are familiar with frottaging, please just let us know. Let us know if we're on
Don't. So the reason that we were looking this up is because they were doing what I assume is the universal symbol for frottaging. I don't know. And they looked it up, so you don't know if that's accurate.
Frottage involved being clothed and also in a crowd.
That's specific.
From the dictionary definition, I'm
and yet there. Also very vague.
I think frottage is just like dry humping.
Frottage.
Oh, is it?
It sounds like yogurt to me. I've got to be honest.
Frottage cheese.
Oh, no. It's just dry sex, apparently, according to Wikipedia.
Oh, right. Maybe I'm getting my terms mixed up. What? There's a term for this index finger on index finger.
Dry sex?
It's a meat joust.
but there's a term for it. I'm just going to... I'm putting private browsing back
there. Yeah, from the image on Wikipedia, I think you're right, Tom.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying docking isn't a term. It's not the term I'm thinking of. If
I mean, again, from the image on Wikipedia, I think you're right.
Wikipedia.
Yes. Yes, here we go. Frot. Yes. Yes.
To frot.
Yes. To frot.
From the French verb frotter, to rub. Yes. Okay.
Meaning men rub their penises together to create sexual sensations.
Yes. Apparently it minimizes the transmission risk of AIDS.
Whilst also looking like a complete dickhead.
Well, not dicks, not on the head. That's a different thing.
It's dick dick.
Dick dick.
It's see, like a proper dick dick.
Like a small gazelle. Yeah, okay. No, for the French actress, see Catherine Frost.
I bet she got bullied.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, if you just Google wikipedia.org/wiki/frot, F-R-O-T, you'll get the act, which was popularized by gay male activists who seek to disparage the practice of anal sex.
Interesting.
Activists for everything, aren't they?
And who says you can't learn whilst you play Esposito?
Mm. Yeah. The more you know.
I am imagining that Charlie can hear the conversation we're having, and I think that's brilliant.
And I think she's now currently breaking up with Mike.
Understandably.
Considering Mike has still got this image on my screen to the right, I am going to close.
Considering that Mike started this weird...
weird you definitely heard it.
By making a joke about docking when we're playing a science fiction game where docking is a fairly standard term.
So things never change.
Mike, are you single now?
No, she said, can we do that later?
Nothing.
We're trying to try rotting.
Or docking, maybe. Anyway.
Frot.
Sorry.
You got to sell it, Mike. Frottage. Romance the woman. Come on.
Hard. From the French.
It's when a
frot.
A dick. And another dick do this. I don't know. Strap on.
Anyway. Okay, moving on.
I don't know if I can. No, I can.
We can't move on. It's not just a phase.
So, whilst you were sleeping, the Promethean fleet moved up alongside the Infinity Corps fleet. So, they have essentially merged. So, it's fairly
easy. They docked?
No, they're not quite docked, because that would involve a lot of ships touching a lot of other ships. So they've alongside each other. They're friends for now. They're going to have dinner. They're going to see how things go. It's fairly easy for you guys, however, to shuttle over to the Promethean ship and retrieve the Golden Rose.
At some point, I would like to call Damson and record my message to the Eldorai fleet. That can be either at on the Promethean ship or on the South Paolo, but whatever.
Yeah, you can fairly easily gain access to one of those communication chambers. Do you have a preference for which? It doesn't matter.
Might as well get over to the Promethean ship first.
All right. And Pat leads you through gestures for you to go in whilst trying to stuff himself back into his Zondas military uniform. Yeah, and you go in and have a chat with Damson, who is fairly willing for you to record. Let's not do the conversation. Fairly willing for you to record this message and then to disseminate it amongst the Eldora 7th Fleet. So, yeah, go for it. And 3, 2, 1, when you're ready, I'll press go.
She just takes out this page of writing that's just like covered in stains and clearly has been worked on over the night.
Oh, so you can write. That's good to know.
Yes, mate. You know, I'm 160 years old. What do you think? I'm just sitting around for all those years not learning to write. I write in 3 different languages.
I assumed you could maybe read.
You're not the only clever dick around here, mate.
I think objectively, yes, I am.
Anyway, moving on. This is important. Are you ready? Playing.
I mean, recording, but I understand what you mean.
Yeah. Good evening, 7th Fleet of Eldorai. This is Eldora, Altari of Eldor, and Captain of the Golden Rose. I am the estranged daughter of General Philippe Altari, but you may know me as the drunken reprobate and criminal they refer to as Dora the Explorer. It is true, I've spent most of my life wandering and plundering the planets for personal gain, drinking, fighting, and fucking. But let me assure you now, at this crucial point in our timeline, I have never been more sober. The commander of the 7th Fleet has made a deal with an ancient evil named Azeno Tirim, whose sole goal is to take back this part of the universe it once inhabited, destroying everything that currently resides here, including our home, Eldor. This is why you find yourselves in this current blockade, protecting the crucible that has been strategically positioned to bring about this destruction. Why has General Altari done this, you may ask? The answer is simple. It is for the Great Wheel. We all know the chaos that created us and our attachment to the wheel and its power. But let me be clear. This is not that chaos. This destruction will spell the demise of not only our planet, but of all the other planets in this quadrant. This is not the work of a higher power, but that of a malicious being that wants what is no longer theirs. Aiding this demon is not the will of the Great Wheel. It is, and I may have just coined this word now, Galaxicide. We are not the Lurendi that seek destruction and darkness over all. We are the Eldorai. We seek balance in the universe, and will do to the end of our time. And this is not the end of our time. I plead with you now, as this danger will decimate that very balance, that you think of your loved ones back on Eldor, Serenia, and Ziva III. Should the machinations of your general and the Azeno Tirim come to pass, all of them will perish this day. Now I understand you have your orders, but there is a time when the well-being of all that inhabits this galaxy outweighs that of military rank. Take up arms, leave your station, and break the blockade, and we will defeat the evil that resides in this crucible together. For Eldor, and for the future.
You know, that was actually quite surprisingly eloquent. I have a friend you'd probably like to meet, although I think he's nearly dead now. When do you want this sending?
That's a good question. Maybe just before we start the attack. It would be good to see if there is some movement before we start killing. We can avoid casualties. So perhaps 30 minutes before we start the attack?
Right. If you could ask whoever's giving that order to let me know, that's fine.
And probably Pax.
All right. I'll ask Pax. Can you roll a persuasion check with advantage? Because, you know, that was pretty spot on referentially. It's almost like you prepared it.
I wrote it today at work because I was bored.
Let's hope that none of your managers listen to this.
I don't care. Don't give a shit.
They won't fire you.
Fire me anyway. I don't want to get taxed.
Don't get a job.
Okay. I rolled a 14 plus 9. It's 23.
Okay. Pretty good recording. Recorded there. Recordingly. Cool. So now you are, I assume, all aboard the Golden Rose?
I think so.
As part of the initial checks, John, before we go, I just want to check all of our void suits. Make sure they're all in working order, because I assume there won't be any atmosphere, at least on the outer part of the Crucible.
You can check your void suits. From what you know of Crucibles, most of them have built on hangar bays, because they're essentially the size of a small moon, and they've got a hangar bay built on the outside. They've become a weird mix of the architecture of whoever first built them and the civilizations that found them. So this Crucible Interstellar Prime has a mixture of ancient architecture and architecture of the Valner and the Matakai. So, yeah, it's got a hangar bay that you'll be able to land the ship in, from what you know of them as well, because they are not military installations. They are neutral stations. They have no, they usually have no military presence, and they have no affiliations with any particular race. So they're not fortified, and they don't have bay doors. Instead, most of them just have force fields that keep the atmosphere in. So that's just a little bit of background on the landing. But you can still check the void suits if you would like to do so.
Yeah, still going to.
They're all fine.
Cool.
Yeah, you managed to get them patched up pretty quickly. Oh, actually, they didn't take any damage because you took them all off and stashed them away in the Sao Paulo. They're all fine. So, with that done, anyone else want to do anything? Any in the last minute plans?
I don't think so.
All right, cool. So, you board the Golden Rose and settle yourself in a position amongst the fleet. Looking around you, the fleet is made up of a large number of ships, including fighters. There's just under 100 ships here. There's a mixture of frigates and strikers. Some fairly advanced military hardware is making up this fleet. So you settle yourself in amongst the strikers and in the shadow of this fleet's frigates. Whilst the fleet seems enormous, especially to you, Hud, who you have quite a lot of experience within a fleet, you can see the glimmer and shuffle of movement that surrounds the Crucible and know that there is a equally deadly fleet arranged opposite. As you're sat on the bridge of the Golden Rose, waiting for things to kick off, there's a hiss and a crackle, and suddenly on the screen, Doc and Pax appear side by side on, and they've opened up a private comms channel to you guys, and Doc chimes in first and says, hello. Good evening, afternoon, don't care. Before we go give the word, I just wanted to know if you had any last requests, suggestions, bizarre statements.
I need to release the tape with my contact for the Eldori fleet.
I'll get right on that.
Thank you, mate.
Just to reiterate, we will not be the first to open fire. I want that to be very clear. We are advancing, and if the Eldori open fire, we will retaliate. We cannot be the instigators of a war here. As long as everyone's fine with that.
I mean,
if you like, I don't really have a problem with shooting from the Rose.
I mean, technically, we're not affiliated with anyone, so cool, not our problem.
I'm not really okay with that either, if I'm honest.
I'm pretty confident that if you move forward, they'll fire the first blow.
I imagine they will.
Well, I was going to say, there's still an ethical quandary related to the fact that you're provoking them on purpose in the hope they'll attack you. It's the galactic equivalent of waving your hands in front of their face and going, I'm not touching you. But still, if it helps you sleep at night by actually not pulling the trigger first, then...
It's more of a diplomatic thing. The Eldori 7th Fleet are not currently communicating with the Eldori Command. If we are the first ones to fire, then they are legitimate in saying they attacked us. If, however, they fire first, defending a crucible that they have stolen, then it would be a much harder to incite a war between the rest of the Ark and the Eldori.
Yeah, that's fine. As long as you're not firing first for moral or ethical reasons.
It's more for practical diplomatic reasons rather than morality.
That I respect.
We're fully down with legal finagling.
What have the rest of the Eldori have to say about this? Are they happy with this rogue fleet?
Pax leans in and says, they're not really talking too much. We're concerned that there is a little bit of sabotage. We're not sure.
That's unsettling. I mean, Doc, you've been a real hindrance to this entire process. You've been petty and judgmental. You haven't listened. You actively contributed to the death of a senior officer through your incompetence and putting your own personal feelings towards me above and beyond your responsibilities and your position and your general obligations. I wanted to be a bigger man about this, but you suck and I hate you, and I wanted you to know that in case I die.
Hud, I still think you're a disgrace and should never have been part of the Infinity Corps. I think you are pompous, arrogant, and a little irritating.
I wouldn't say pompous.
Thanks, Dumas.
Is this the love story that our fans need?
Probably not, but it's the one they're getting.
Oh my God, I can't wait to write that ending. Pat, to this point, turns to Dora and just says, good luck, Captain.
Does Dora's nose start bleeding?
Yeah, Dora's nose starts bleeding and Troy Barnes appears in the corner just going, ah!
Pactmate, what do we do to block AIDS when a loved one has died? Smash. Pax. Smash.
He just nods silently and grunts a little bit.
Right. I suppose, Hud, you'll want me next to you so I can touch you while you're piloting the...
I swear, if you put that goddamn gammy finger like on me, what, like, I know I'm racing towards certain death, but I just don't you goddamn... Like, Hud isn't looking at Dora as he says all this either. He's kind of looking into the middle distance, just shaking his head. Don't you do it. Don't you goddamn touch me with that stubby little half finger you've got. I
swear. Well, I'll touch you with my clean hand then. How about that?
No, don't touch me with your strong hand either.
But it's my clean hand.
You know what? The one good thing about almost certainly dying in this mission is I won't have to deal with this goddamn bullshit anymore. He just flicks some switches and starts firing up the golden rod.
What positions is everyone else taking? Rebook, I assume, engineering.
I think Reboot's drone's going to be on engineering and Reboot's going to take up one of the guns because we don't have any gunners anymore, do we?
Yeah, I like that. That's good. Dumas, what are you doing?
I think Dumas is just patiently waiting. He's not really doing anything particular at the moment, I don't think.
Okay.
Maybe he polishes his gun.
When you say polishes his gun...
Whatever helps you keep calm.
Yeah.
Are you doing it on the bridge?
Whatever helps you keep calm.
Maybe he polishes his gun.
All right. Dumas is maybe polishing his gun.
Great way to start the day.
Neither Hud nor Dora really want to look over their shoulder to make sure. Rebook takes up position in one of the gunnery positions. And Rebook's drone heads off to the engineering bay.
I think Dumas will be hanging around by the computers just for the start of this, polishing his gun. Maybe.
With his incognito tab open.
With his incognito tab open.
Yeah, exactly.
Watching the Nuns in Space film again. The sequel.
Frottaging.
Nuns in Space. :
He's watching footage of docking.
Nuns in Space 2, the frottaging.
Oh, yes. Look at that seal. Oh, the layers of depravity.
I laugh so much I dribble a little bit. Not going to lie. I have no pride.
It was either that or starting to sing Kiss from a Rose. I had to make a snap decision. I wasn't sure which one would be better.
One of these is going on the SoundCloud.
Yeah, well, let's go back. We'll record it again and then Tomo and you can pick later. Look at that seal.
Baby!
Okay, I'll go back on. And you do Kiss from a Rose as a seal.
All right, let's go back. Look at that seal.
Now sing Kiss from a Rose as if you were a stamp on a medieval letter.
Oh, God, this is all gold. Solid, I've ruined it. I've called it gold.
You called it gold. I mean, the whole thing. John ruined it.
Ah! Combo breaker. So.
Found out ballet, not seal.
Oh, wait.
So, the word is given to each fleet by their own commanders, and you see all around you thrusters burst into light as the frigates and the strikers begin to lurch forward. The tension building to this point could have led you to believe that it would be a moment of sudden explosive energy, the two fleets crashing towards each other, but instead it's a trickle, like pebbles before an avalanche.
Come on, John, there's a Lord of the Rings reference there waiting to happen.
Let them have a moment for pity's sake.
I've thought of that a few times, but no, it's not that, is it?
What about second docking?
Melon?
It's the coming of Merry and Pippin will be like the falling of small stones that starts an avalanche in the mountains.
All right, yeah, okay. And I'll go back. The tension building to this point could have led to the belief that it would be a moment of sudden explosive energy, but instead it's like a trickle. Like the coming of Merry and Pippin that causes an avalanche, right?
Yeah, how's well, that? I mean, when you say it like that, it sounds bad, but yes.
It's like the coming of Merry and Pippin.
We know what's on the incognito tab now.
I mean, I've never imagined how the halflings come, but now I know it's a trickle. Like...
Take three. Blah, 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 blah. But instead, it's a trickle. Like the coming of Merry and Pippin. Before a snowstorm? Before a Spider-Man?
I mean, I'm also starting to worry that if they're coming small stones, they've probably got far too much calcium in their diet.
Oh, fucking hell.
That's what you get for having 11 breakfasts.
Well, that's true.
And milk with everyone.
Oh, God. I'm going to need a moment now. For the listeners at home, I pretended to push an erection down.
Poor listeners at home.
They don't know how big it is. So as you draw nearer, you begin to see the Eldorai 7th Fleet taking shape around the Crucible that they're protecting. You can start to pick out the larger ships, and you can see some of the smaller strikers, and in amongst them, swarms of fighters. They all seem to be holding position. And you start to see strange flashes of colour that spiral out from the Crucible. You can't really see a point of origin where they're coming from, and you can't really make out what colour it is beyond it's not space. There is this visible thing that you see that winds its way amongst the stars. Some sort of seem to reach out and almost lash against the ships that are protecting the Crucible, and some reach out further towards the star in the centre of the galactic core. Just outside of weapons range of the larger ships, the fleet that you're in halts, and the fighters pour out, and they pull slightly ahead, moving towards the Eldorai fleet, following the order to hold fire until they're fired upon. And then suddenly the sky is full of flashes of light and explosions as the Eldorai frigates open fire. The Infinity Corps and the Promethean fighters start taking evasive action. You see that some are clipped and start spinning off, careening into others. Others just explode straight up. And then, as quickly as it began, the fire ceases. And you can see that the flak and the weapons fire was essentially shielding the approach of the Eldorai fighters, who have now moved up. And essentially, you're at the point where both fleets are in range of each other. And you can see... the fight starts is the next moment. Like there's a second of hesitation as your vision clears and you can see the fighters have moved up and the Eldorai fleet has moved forward a little bit. And then all hell breaks loose. Dory, you can just about pick out. There's a couple of ships that don't seem to be joining in on the Eldorai side. They're not turning, they're not firing on their own, but they are not engaging.
I say to the guys, the two ships over there that aren't firing, maybe we can get through the blockade that way and they won't fire, or should we try going through undetected through the battle?
Why not little column A, little column B? We'll head through that way, but we'll use the cover of the fight to shield us. We'll engage the stealth drive now.
Sounds good.
Okay. So you kick the stealth drive in.
And I'm going to prepare to take evasive maneuvers if we need to. And then I'm going to start moving towards the ships that aren't firing.
I'm going to need you to make a piloting maneuver because no matter what you do, there's going to be a lot of evasive maneuvering that you're going to have to do to just stay out of the way of the fight.
Dora's just going to come behind and put a hand on Hood's shoulder, the clean hand without the dead finger on it, and amplify ability. So you get a plus 1d4.
It's 21, all in all.
Okay. So you start up the stealth drive and you lean forward on the thrusters and start moving the ship a little bit faster through, trying to not draw attention to yourself and pick your way through this fight. You're having to duck and weave and spin the ship to avoid collisions with other fighters and to get out of the way of cannon fire from the frigates and the strikers. As you're doing so, you start to see on the scanners, it's a little bit confusing. It looks like pixels are getting stuck. If you look out of windows, you start to see points in space where two fighters will be caught in a dogfight and it will suddenly slow down as you move past and then speed up. And you can see like artillery fire is caught in these pockets where it slows down and it was about to hit a target, but the target manages to get away when it really shouldn't have. You start to see these temporal distortions.
Can I make an astrophysics check to see what might be causing it?
Yep.
Astrophysics. Oh, cool. Natural 20.
So, based on your conversations with some of the scientists aboard the Promethean vessel and what you know about the Xenotyrum plan, whatever machine is being powered within the Crucible has a distorting effect on time and space. And you think essentially what you're seeing is as this machine powers up, you're starting to see the physical impact of that machine distorting the environment around you. However, you can't really pick out any pattern to it. It seems to, at best, be random.
Okay. In that case, I say to Dumas, look, is there any way that you can scan for any temporal disturbances in the space around us?
Dumas, roll an astrophysics check to see if you can figure out how to scan for these.
Okay, I'm okay at astrophysics. I can definitely give that a go. That's an 18.
You're pretty sure you can pick them out just before they're about to happen. So essentially what that's going to do is it's going to give HUD a plus one to any piloting maneuvers to avoid these.
Okay.
Cool.
Whilst you're shouting this back to Dumas and Dumas is trying to figure it out, Dumas, what you do is essentially you set up a program so that once you've picked one up, the readings go straight through to the pilot's terminal so that he can see them coming up, which means that you don't really need to do anything else unless you want to.
Go back to polishing my gun.
Back to polishing your gun and looking at docking maneuvers. However, at this point, you pick up two Eldorai fighters that seem to have noticed your ship moving through and started tailing it and started firing upon you. HUD, can you roll initiative? And they will roll initiative as these two fighters start tailing you.
Glad I've got the advantage on initiative rolls now. That is a 14 for initiative for us.
Okay. Both these fighters open fire on Golden Rose, having picked it out as not Eldorai and heading in the direction of the Crucible. So, both open fire individually. So the first one fires wide, and you can see the shot clips into another Eldorai fighter that spins off and crashes into a frigate. At this pace and range, you can't tell what frigate it crashed into. The other one, however, makes a significant connection with the Golden Rose. They start going out. It's quite a romantic affair. And then he sucker punches you.
Prick.
We've all been there.
Right. First up, the ship takes 8 damage.
Wow. We weren't at full HP. I've got a note of it here.
You were. The ship was repaired.
Oh, was it? Including the structural integrity?
Yeah, the structural integrity was repaired as well. That was all whilst you were aboard the Promethean ship.
Excellent.
Thanks, Pax.
So we're at 32 HP.
You had a conversation about it. However, Dora, can you roll a d20?
Yes. Can I amplify ability? Is it an ability check?
No.
Worth a try. 9.
9. Hang on a second. Wait, this has come up with something that doesn't make sense.
Well, we should just move on then. I don't think.
Don't worry about it. Fuck it.
No.
Is this the system failure with the missing numbers? Because we've been here before.
Yeah. Roll it again. 9 and 10 just aren't there.
Yeah, we came across this last time.
I rolled a 10. I'm kidding. I rolled a 12.
Okay, all piloting maneuver checks are made with a -2 penalty.
Shit. Like forever.
These effects are cumulative and last until the ship undergoes a patch or full repair. This says if you lose an SI, have we lost one?
Yeah, no, I'm on the wrong thing. Target's technician must make a system shock roll.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right, so actually first, Rebook, your drone needs to make a roll.
Okie dokie. Is that plus mechanics or wisdom?
It's an intelligence saving throw versus the attacker's maneuver save DC.
Oh, that's not bad. That's a minus one to intelligence, though. That's a 14.
That is enough.
Yay.
The ship does not take a point of structural integrity damage. Therefore, there is no minus two to that. So,
fabulous.
Yeah, that's good news. Well, kind of. That was quite good fun. I was hoping to fuck you up a little bit. So it turns out that whilst there was a shudder, and it was fairly alarming the amount of damage that this one shot dealt, there was some exploding panels, some fizzes and some smoke. And for a second, you feel like the ship's going to start handling poorly, but then Rebook, through his comms, hears a boop, boop, boop from the drone, and Rebook shouts down to you guys that everything's actually fine, the ship's going to be all right.
Nice.
So it is now your turn in initiative. So who's doing what? And in what order?
I'm going to use my strong hand and touch Hood.
Keep doing that.
Stop just it. Just going to keep doing it.
I'm going to fly us into the sun.
Fuck the crucible.
Fuck this crucible.
If you can't take a moist hand on the shoulder to save the galaxy, then...
It's moist now. Why is it moist?
Wouldn't you like to know? Probably not.
No. Actually, no, I wouldn't.
All right.
The mysterious moist.
You called it grubby earlier, so she might have cleaned it.
Dora moistly caresses HUD. Rebook and Dumas, you doing anything? HUD, you doing anything?
The drone's going to take the jury rig action.
To do some repairing.
Do some repairing.
All right. Roll that technician's maneuver.
Yeah, that's a 20. I think that's a pass.
That is going to be a pass. It's a DC 14. So 1d4 plus wisdom modifier.
Which is a plus 4. So 7 hit points back.
That shifts back up to 4.
Good as new.
Good as new. Right, so now it's Rebook, HUD, and Dumas.
Can I scan them and do some pinpoint targeting?
I believe you can.
Cool. There's two of them, isn't there?
Yeah, so you can only pick one of them.
Will I have time to let Rebook know which one I'm doing?
Yeah.
They're pretty much the same, aren't they? So I'll just pick the whichever one you deem to be the first one.
All right.
And I'll do some pinpoint targeting, which is a terrible roll, but it's a 17.
That is going to be enough. Versus their maneuver defense, yeah.
So Rebook will do additional damage now.
Nice.
How much is the additional damage, just to check?
It's only 3, but still, you know, hey.
You're telling me what, right? Yeah, all right. Well, a plus 3 to your damage is pretty good. All right, so, Hud and Rebook, you are still to act.
Rebook, do you want to go first?
Yeah, unless there's any manoeuvres that are going to affect my shooting.
Well, I was planning on doing an evasive action, so that'll give you a disadvantage, so you might want to shoot first.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah, Reboot's going to fire at the one that I'm assuming now has like a big red dot over it on the screen saying, shoot here, dickhead.
Pew, pew,
yes,
pew.
That is how they have programmed it.
I'd imagine so. Oh, it's a natural 20, John.
Oh, that's beautiful. All right, roll your damage, then add your modifier, then add the plus 3.
What's the damage again, sorry, for the rose? Is it 2?
I believe it's 2d4.
2d4.
2d4 plus Gunner's Dex. Plus the 3 that Dumas gave you.
Yeah.
Doubled on the dice because you're a savage.
So it's 24 damage.
Ooh! Seeing these two ships sort of swing in and start firing on you, the one that managed to clip the rose, you swing your turret around to pinpoint it, and then that extra information that comes through from Dumas helps you target its fuselage, and you pull the trigger once, and that shot connects beautifully, and the ship just explodes and is vaporized.
Ooh, you see that?
Don't get cocky, kid.
Thank you. God damn it, that was so slow.
I thought one of you guys were going to do it.
You had to.
I'll save it in the edit, it's fine.
No, don't.
You're the horrible Trekkie bastards, not me.
No, never mix up Star Wars and Star Trek.
No, I'm back. Although I've lost my mouse.
You're rage.
John slammed his desk and stormed out of the room.
Because he's an horrible Trekkie bastard.
I should have kept an eye on where that went.
Did you literally fling it across the room? Absolute diva.
It was mostly for comic effect, but I realised that the only person that saw it was me. I don't know
God
where
bless
it's gone.
This visual medium.
Where's it gone? All right, I've got another one. I'll plug that one in. But if anyone asks, this is Tom's fault. Owens.
I was the catalyst.
All right, well, Aaron's an awful person. Rebooks destroyed a ship. Harders, now your go.
I'm going to take evasive maneuvers. So each target has got to make a saving throw versus my maneuver save DC. So that is 15.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I should probably explain what will happen. So on a failed save, rolls against my ship from the targets affected. I made it disadvantage either until the end of my ship's next term or until I perform another piloting maneuver, whichever comes first.
Okay, well, there's only one ship left. So that ship's going to make its piloting maneuver. God damn, I need to get rid of this dice. It fails, so it's now got disadvantage on attacks against you.
Cool. But for the duration of this effect, any gunners on my ship attacks are made with disadvantage unless they spend a bonus action to make a successful wisdom saving throw versus my maneuver save DC.
That's everyone done, so now this ship's going to take a shot at you. Oh, that's pretty good. 18. Does an 18 hit the rose?
That's bang on its AC.
All right, so yes. It does, is what you mean there. And it deals 5 damage. At this point...
Can I ask what the actual max and current HP of our ship is?
Max HP is 40, and we're currently at 27 now after that.
Okay.
I healed it 7 last turn.
You healed it 7?
Yeah, the drone healed it for 7.
Oh, shit. Sorry, I thought you did the... something else. Okay. So we're currently at 34.
He's also going to attempt a dogfight maneuver. Aaron, what's your maneuver defense?
12.
Okay. I guess a 20.
So attack rolls are made with advantage. So does that just cancel out the evasive action then?
Yes, but also you still have advantage on it. Oh no, both effects simply cancel each other out. So Rebook no longer has advantage to attack, is essentially the outcome of that.
Nothing significant has changed.
Nothing significant. Basically, I did that the wrong way round, but it didn't make any difference. So, back to the Golden Rose. Who wants to do what now?
I'm going to use my strong hand. Yeah.
Stop jabbing me in the side of the head. Dora.
Feels good though, right? You feel like you can get through anything.
No, God, that was in my ear.
Why is it wet?
It seems moist, to keep getting moist. Wetter.
It's dripping now. Actively dripping.
No, that's just blood from the open wound.
Oh, God.
All right, so who wants to do a thing and win? And why? And how?
I would like to do some sensor jamming.
Ooh, cheeky.
On the enemy ship, which is another computer's role.
You do you, Tom. You do you.
Which is a 23 against his maneuver defense.
That is successful.
And he now, presumably because his sensors are jammed, he needs to eyeball it, and his next roll against us has a disadvantage.
Absolutely. Good work.
And then I send a text message to that ship saying, boom, with a little gif of a cat dropping a microphone.
anything more disrespectful than an SMS.
He replies with OMG and a meme of a cat looking at salad.
Now I feel bad for killing him because he's totally speaking on my wavelength, but...
Shots fired.
Yeah.
Who next? Sorry, who is next? I forgot the middle word.
You just forgot that you weren't absolutely gangster for a second.
I know. It's so easy to forget. And then I look in the mirror and I'm like, he's super white and middle class and should not talk like that.
You just forget that crackers love cheese.
This guy grew up in the home counties. He is fucking worst. And he does love cheese.
I genuinely can't get enough of that image.
But I really do love cheese. It's delicious. Nothing is better has ever come out of a cow, apart from moo, because that's a fun sound.
Fair.
What?
Okay, who is next, though? Who is doing a thing on the ship next?
They really do.
So far, we've had Dora and Dumas doing things. We've still got Rebook Drone, Rebook, and HUD.
You still laughing at that, Tom?
it's genuinely the funniest image I've seen for a long time. It's fantastic.
Cheese is delicious. What?
We do love cheese. Crackers do love cheese.
We've got our episode title, guys.
Like, it would be offensive if it wasn't true.
Mm.
Also, I'm not sure if it would be offensive.
It's not a stereotype if it's accurate. Well, just an observation.
You ever met a cracker that's not like, yeah, I love cheddar?
Mature and to be fair, cheddar. I've known a white man with explosive lactose intolerance who would just eat cheese, just wouldn't give a fuck. Like, he would get sick. He would get sick bad.
So you've met Mike?
It's because we love cheese.
Crackers love cheese.
That is, by the way, that is genuinely Mike. And also me. Like, we went to Algeria for a week and didn't eat
cheese,
any dairy, and we were so much healthier for a week. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop eating dairy. Fuck that.
Yeah, I love cheese too much. Fuck that shit. I will go through that turmoil for that tasty, tasty cheese.
I didn't realize how common lactose intolerance was.
No, it's not that common, to be honest. People who say they've got lactose intolerance is really common. Actual lactose intolerance isn't that common.
Yeah, like, I'm not intolerant. It's just unpleasant for people around me.
Yeah, like, not being funny, if I smash a large Domino's, I get windy. That's not lactose intolerance.
I'm not intolerant. I just don't want cheese moving into the neighbourhood.
Sorry, we got sidetracked surprisingly by, I don't even remember what. Oh yeah, no, that was it. Okay,
some of my best friends eat cheese.
So, HUD, Rebook, Rebook's Drone. Any choices of action activity?
I'm going to hold until the end.
Rebook's Drone's going to try and patch up the ship again. We can only do this twice, and I'm probably not going to roll higher than the 6, so I might as well try and do that. Yeah, I think that's a pass. That's a 20.
Yeah, that's a pass.
5.
You know it's a DC 14.
Yeah. So. Okay, no. Okay, yeah, I did roll max repairs on that one. So that's 8 hit points back.
Yeah, the ship is online. Still fine. Still doing all right.
It's back up to full health.
Back up to full health. I wasted 2 then. I guess Reboot's going to take a shot then of a ship.
Yep.
It's just a neutral shot now.
Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool. Nice. It's an 18 again. So plus 7. So 25 again to hit.
That'll hit.
9 damage.
Nice. You score a pretty hefty blow and you see the ship veer off. And you can tell that part of this veering off is the pilot is reconsidering his action to target you and pulls away and is leaving your airspace.
Yeah, you better run.